Welcome to the Christ Walk Church Podcast.
What's up, Christ Walk? How's everybody doing today? So good. So good to see all of you today. It's an exciting day. Pastor Jim Chamberlain is in the house. I didn't find out until, you know, pretty late in the day yesterday that he was coming. I think he was scared I was going to ask him to preach. So happy to have him and Miss Anita with us. If you didn't get a chance before service, get around to them and hug their neck and give them a high five. Let them know how much you love them before you get out of here today. If you got your Bibles or a smart device, you want to turn with me or swipe with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at chapter 2. So your Bible is divided into these two big chunks. The first big chunk is called the Old Testament. The second big chunk is called the New Testament. And 1 Corinthians is a part of that second chunk, the New Testament. And it was written by this guy named Paul. Paul was originally called Saul. He was a Pharisee. He was a Christian killer, people that chose to follow Christ. He would hunt them down and throw them in prison. In some cases, they were actually killed for their faith. And he had this radical conversion on the road to Damascus where he saw God face to face. His name was changed to Paul, and then he made it his life's mission to go around and establish churches all over the area. And then he would write letters to them to encourage them and admonish them and teach them how to live in the ways of Jesus Christ. And this is one of those letters, 1 Corinthians, to the church at Corinth. And so we're going to be taking a look at a passage out of chapter 2 here in just a minute. So we're continuing on. This is part 2 of our series called Erased, and it's all about the Holy Spirit and coming from this idea that could it be that inadvertently, as believers, as the church, that we've kind of left the Holy Spirit out of the equation, that we have a firm grasp of what we believe about God and who we believe Him to be. And a number of us, whether we're believers or not, we know who Jesus is. We've at least had some sort of encounter with Jesus. We have learned a little bit about of His teachings and some of the things that He said and did. But then the third person of the Trinity often gets left out, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And in a lot of cases, the Holy Spirit comes off as confusing or awkward or mysterious or spooky, and we've made Him out to be something that He's really not. And so rather than erasing Him, omitting Him from our lives as believers and as a part of the church, we're taking a look at what it might be like if we opened ourselves to Him and had more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So last week we talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit and that in our pursuit of God, we can either settle for mediocrity or we can strive for more. And that Jesus was communicating to His disciples. We talked about John chapter 16, where Jesus essentially said, wait, there's more, and it's actually better for you if I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come and be with you. And Jesus proclaimed the promise of the Holy Spirit that would come. And so now that we've understood that the Holy Spirit has come to us, then how do we get into His presence? And that's what we're going to talk about today, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've got two kids. Luke is 12 years old. And Avery is 9, and many of you probably wonder, why pastors have kids, and that's so we don't run out of sermon material. So that's in essence. No, I'm just kidding. That's not why. But I love my kids. I love my kids equally, but I love my kids differently. And those of you that are parents of especially multiple children, you'll understand that. And Avery, I'm going to pick on her today because she's not in here to get mad at me, and she doesn't listen to the podcast or anything, so she'll never know unless anybody tells her. So Luke, you're off the hook for today, bud. Avery, my 9-year-old, you can ask her, I guarantee if you walked up to her after church and you said, whose princess are you? She would say, Daddy's. She is Daddy's princess. And I have ingrained that into her from an early age. And she tells everybody, and I'll even ask her, I said, Avery, what are you gonna do when raggedy little old boys start coming around the house and knocking on the door and everything? She says, I'm gonna tell them that I am my daddy's princess and that I love him and that they need to stay away from me. And I'm like, you go, girl. I mean, she's got it down. And one thing is true, she loves her daddy. She loves her daddy. And this may come as a surprise to a lot of you, but Avery is a 9-year-old girl. And as a 36-year-old man, I don't really fully understand everything that a 9-year-old girl is about. You know, I don't understand all of the hair accessories that a 9-year-old girl needs in 2018. I don't understand fully about, you know, the necessity to go to the nail salon for a mani-pedi when you're 9 years old. I don't understand what in the world she is watching on YouTube. You know, she's, Daddy, come check this out. And I'm like, I have no idea. I don't understand when she goes into her room and gets over in the corner and pulls out all of her American Girl dolls. All right, American Girl is Spanish for expensive. That's what I've come to discover, and I don't fully understand. I'm like, Avery, this doll looks exactly like this doll, and she'll give me all the reasons, and there's a myriad of them as to why they are different, and I just don't understand everything that goes on in the life of a 9-year-old girl. But very often, I will come home from work, or I'll be out somewhere, and I'll come in, and she'll say, Daddy, will you come and do whatever? Fill in the blank, some 9-year-old girl activity with me. And I'll be like, hey, I really don't know what all that's about. And we come and watch this video on YouTube of someone taking a squishy and crafting it and painting it and making it look like something else. And I'm like, Avery, I have no idea what is going on here. I don't even understand. Like, this is not something that Daddy enjoys. And she's like, you're gonna go watch sports, aren't you? She'll come in and I'll have, you know, some sports on the TV, and she'll look at me and she'll kind of roll her eyes, and, you know, she's really sassy. She'll get this attitude and she'll go, sports again? Really? We watched sports yesterday. And I'm like, well, you know, they kind of happen every day. And so we just don't really understand each other all that much. But she's got it down to a science, because she knows what to say in order to get me interested. Because if I ever communicate, no, Daddy's busy with this over here, Daddy doesn't understand what you're talking about, she'll say this. But Daddy, I just want you to be with me. Daddy, I just want you to be with me. Now, some of you may think that's super manipulative. I think that she just loves her daddy. And she's got me wrapped around that little finger. And I'm like, okay, just take my wallet, take my whatever you want, baby, because you just want to be with me. And even though we don't fully understand each other, there's just something about it. She just wants me to be with her. And man, there's nothing like picking Avery up. She's my cuddle bug. She likes to snuggle, unlike my wife and my son. Sarah builds the pillow fortress in the bed and dares me to cross over into her territory. Avery, on the other hand, wants to get inside your pocket. And so there's nothing like being a dad and just taking her in my arms, pulling her up into my lap, and just being with her. We don't have to understand each other. I don't need to know about dolls and manicures. She doesn't need to know about basketball and football. We can just be together and just be with each other. And you know what? It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us would say, we don't really understand the Holy Spirit. We would say, you know, the Holy Spirit is awkward. The Holy Spirit is weird. The Holy Spirit is mysterious and confusing and spooky. No, the Holy Spirit is none of those things. We have made the Holy Spirit that way because of our misunderstanding, because of our lack of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. And in the process, because we don't understand, we've held it at arm's length. Because it's something that we aren't fully comfortable with. We've left it out here rather than pulling it in and making it a part of our everyday lives. And the Holy Spirit is just saying, God is saying to us, to his people, he's saying, I just want to be with you. And even for those of us in the church circle, many of us, we've been saved, we've been doing this for years, and we've boiled down being in the presence of the Holy Spirit to something that it just simply isn't. We've made it way more complicated than it needs to be. We've thought that the only way that we can get into the presence of the Holy Spirit is if the worship team sings that particular song, or if the lighting is just a certain way, and the temperature has to be so, and the pastor has to say that one thing, you know, that really just gets us going. And that's how we get into the Holy Spirit, but that's simply not the case. And as I've been praying leading up to this series and especially this particular message and everything, I've been asking, like, God, what do you want from me? What do you want from the people of our church? What are you looking for? And here is usually where I try to put something that in the pastoral world we would call a sticky statement. It's something that like rhymes or it has alliteration or whatever. But today the statement is not very sticky. But if you are taking notes, I want you to write this down. It's very simple. It's just two words that I believe God is communicating to us today about getting into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's simply this: lean in. Lean in. Rather than pushing back, rather than holding it at arm's length, what the Holy Spirit is wanting of us, what God is desiring of us, is to lean in. And I found myself over the past several months, that's really been my prayer, both for me personally and for you as a church, is that we would be a people that would lean in to all that God has for us. God, help us to lean in to all that you are, to everything that you have for your people. Help us to lean in and discover what it is you have for us. And so that's the foundation of kind of where we're at today. And so for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about what it means, what it looks like to lean in. You know, one of the early church fathers, his name was Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence, and after he died, some people found his journal. He was an avid journaler, and they took a bunch of excerpts of his journal, and they put it together in what is now one of the most revered Christian classics that people have read hundreds and hundreds of thousands of times over. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's simply a collection of journal entries from Brother Lawrence where he talks about his daily relationship with the Father. And often he finds himself just in the middle of these just mundane everyday tasks. But he outlines for him what it looked like to be in community, to commune with God, just going through his day today. And in that book, in one of those journal entries, he writes this about being in the presence of God. He says, he does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time, a little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, at other times to thank him for the graces, past and present, he has bestowed on you. in the midst of your troubles to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think. So for us to be in to engage with the presence of the Holy Spirit, all we have to do is very simply just lean in. Lean in. The Holy Spirit, he wants to be intimate with us. He wants to add fulfillment and give life to us. And as a matter of fact, it's part of how it began or how it was designed from the very beginning. In John chapter 20, Jesus has just died on the cross and he's risen from the dead and he comes in and he engages with his disciples. In fact, they are gathered together in a locked room in John chapter 20 and they're trying to figure out and to decide what's next. Now that Jesus has died, what steps are they taking now? And this is the passage famously where Jesus appears to Thomas. And he shows Thomas the nail marks in his hands and the spear scar from where the spear penetrated his side and where doubting Thomas then becomes a believer. And as a part of this passage, Jesus gathers his followers together. And the Bible says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, that passage, he breathed on them, it's not found anywhere else in the rest of the New Testament. But we can link it all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, to where God forms man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathes life into his nostrils. We can also connect it to Ezekiel chapter 37. Many of you will recognize the valley of the dry bones where God says, "I will cause breath to enter you so that you will live." And so essentially what Jesus is communicating to his disciples that day is that through Adam, there was an original creation, but Adam, man, we messed it up because of sin. But now Jesus, having died on the cross, having risen from the dead, he's saying we have access to a new creation, a new way of life. And he pulls his disciples together. He breathes on them an act of infilling of life and inspiration and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Put yourself in a position to be in the presence of God." And we know that this is a very intimate thing. Because he breathed on them. You got to be close to somebody for them to breathe on you. You know, like if it's late at night and the kids are in bed and your wife is close enough to breathe on you, you know something good's about to happen. But if you're at Walmart and someone breathes on you, you know security's getting ready to be called. See, there's different because we were made to be intimate with the Father. He wants us close to him. He wants us to be about that relationship to where he can breathe on us and into us and infuse us with life and fulfillment. So he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Position yourselves to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit." All right? So now that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul is writing here to the church in Corinth, and he's talking to them about the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. He's juxtaposing these two figures together, and he's showing the differences between them. The natural man is just in his state, how he was when he was born, that he has not surrendered his life unto God and is not living in accordance with the Holy Spirit. But then the spiritual man is one who is attuned and in tune with what the Spirit is doing and is wanting to do in and through his life. And starting in verse 6, Paul writes this. He says, "However, I speak a wisdom to those who are mature. But this wisdom is not from this world or from rulers of this world who are losing their power. I speak God's secret wisdom, which he has kept hidden. Before the world began, God planned this wisdom for our glory. None of the rulers of this world understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written in the scriptures, this is a quote from Isaiah, no one has ever seen this and no one has ever heard about it. No one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has shown us these things through the Spirit. All right, so we see that the Spirit is at work here. It says, the Spirit searches out all things, even the deep secrets of God. Who knows the thoughts that another person has? Only a person's spirit that lives within him knows his thoughts. So what he's saying is that right now, you cannot know what I'm thinking. There's no way for you to know what thoughts are going on in my head right now. There is no way for me to know each and every one of you what thoughts are going on in your head. That is only for our spirit inside of us that we know the thoughts of ourselves. And Paul says it is the same in verse 11. It is the same with God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, we did not receive the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit that is from God so that we can know all that God has given us. That's important. That through the Holy Spirit, then it's like an entire library is opened up in front of us, that through the Spirit of God, we are given access into a realm that otherwise we would not have access to. The Spirit of God turns into a key that unlocks new spiritual insights and revelation to those that have surrendered themselves to the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, now we did not receive the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit that is from God so that we can know all that God has given us. And we speak about these things, not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with words taught us by the Spirit. And so we explain spiritual truths to spiritual people. A person who does not have the Spirit, we're in verse 14, a person who does not have the Spirit does not accept the truths that come from the Spirit of God. That person thinks they are foolish and cannot understand them because they can only be judged to be true by the Spirit. So that word there, accept, that the person who does not have the Spirit does not accept the truths that come from the Spirit of God. When you trace that word back to its origin in the original language in which Paul is writing, it actually refers to the welcoming of a house guest. So someone comes and knocks on the door. They're coming to pay a visit. And the spiritual person goes to the door and opens the door and says, come in. Make yourself at home. Put your feet up. Is there a beverage that I could get you? Be here with us and let's commune. Let's engage. Let's be together for a little while and spend some time in each other's company. And so what's happening here is that the spiritual man hears the knock at the door of the Holy Spirit and he flings wide and he says, my house is your house. Come on in, make yourself at home. But the natural man has left the door shut. The natural man says, I don't want any visitors. The natural man looks at the things of God and the nature of God and the presence of God and says, that's foolishness. And Paul even says that he is unable to understand the truths of God because he has left the door shut. In essence, the Holy Spirit has come knocking, but the natural man has slammed the door in his face and said, nope, not here, not today. But the spiritual man has welcomed the Holy Spirit into his life, into his home, and has said, be a part of this with me. Make communion here with me. And then Paul writes about what the result of that is in verse 15. He says, the spiritual person is able to judge all things, but no one can judge him. That word judge there literally means to determine what is right. That through the Spirit, we are able to look at the situations of life, the things, the decisions that we need to make, and the steps that we need to take, and the way that we are to live and think and speak and act and behave. We can look at those things, and through the Holy Spirit, who we've invited in, gives us the ability to determine what is right so that we can then live in a way that honors Jesus Christ. Says the scripture says, another quote from Isaiah there in verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been able to teach him? But we have the mind of Christ. For those of us who have taken a step away from our natural desires, and we have leaned in to the Spirit in our life, we have, when the Spirit comes knocking, we have opened the door and we have welcomed him in, and we have said, come in and be here with me and commune with me, that through that relationship in being in the presence of God, that now we have the mind of Jesus Christ. The doors are flung wide open, and now we have full access into everything that Jesus thinks and knows and is, because the Spirit of God is the one that knows the thoughts of God himself. And if we then commune with the Spirit, if we partake in the presence of the Holy Spirit, then we are given access into the very thoughts, into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and everything that he is and everything that he has and wants for us. Why would we not want that? If there is more out there, and if that is available to us, then for those that are followers of Christ, why would we not want that? Why would we leave the door shut to the Holy Spirit if all we had to do was just lean in and we could know the very thoughts of Jesus Christ for us? That's the kind of God we serve, one that wants to be up close and personal, intimate with us, that can breathe on us and breathe into us new life and fulfillment and hope and joy if we would simply just lean in. But the fact remains is that a lot of us, we're unsure of really how to lean in. Like, what does that even look like? And especially if you've never truly been in the presence of the Holy Spirit before, it can be a little intimidating. It can be a little bit awkward. There can be some confusion at times, but it's not because the Holy Spirit is those things. It's because our human minds and our human behaviors make it that way. So I want to give you some practical tools, some things that you can put into practice in order to lean into what the Holy Spirit has for you, to take a step towards intimacy with God so that he can breathe onto you and into you this new life. J.D. Greer, he wrote a book called Jesus Continued. And in that book, it's simply based on the preface that he claims that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us, is better than Jesus beside of us. The Holy Spirit inside of us is better than Jesus beside of us. And before we like raise our fists in anger, think back to John chapter 16. Isn't that what Jesus said when he told his disciples? Look, it's better for you that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell with you and in you. And maybe some of you are here today and you know, maybe you're not even a believer. You don't even believe in Jesus. And I just want to say, thanks for being here. This is a place that you don't have to believe in order to belong. And so we're glad that you're here. So maybe this whole Holy Spirit thing and the presence of God is completely new to you. Well, I want to walk through just a few pieces of practical advice and wisdom, some things that you can put into place. And so I just want to challenge you. Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you've been a believer for a short time, or maybe you've been a believer for a long time, and you've just never figured out really what it means to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you at whatever level that you're at. Take one or two or three of these and start to put them into practice over this next week and see maybe what happens and what the Lord might unfold to you. Because I think we might find here in just a second that getting into the presence of the Holy Spirit is a lot easier and maybe quite a bit different than what we thought in the first place. So these are the six things that J.D. Greer writes about in his book. He talks about one way to lean in to the presence of the Holy Spirit is through the gospel. And When I say the gospel, I'm not just talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, yes, those are the gospels. We call them the gospels because gospel means good news, and those are the good news because they tell the story of Jesus. But I'm talking about the actual concept of the gospel as the central piece of Jesus and his ministry. Everything that he was, everything that he did, everything that he stood for and taught. If we lean in to the gospel, then we will be inspired. Life will be breathed into us if we will lean in and begin to live our lives in accordance with the principles of the gospel, because the gospel reveals to us who Jesus is. And through the presence of the Holy Spirit, all of that is peeled back and the curtain is pulled back, and we have full access into the mind of Christ himself. So we can lean in to the gospel in order to find ourselves in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The second thing, lean into God's word. We lean into God's word. Through God's word, we are corrected. We are disciplined. We are given direction. The wholeness of God's word from Genesis to Revelation, it tells this overarching story that points us back at every turn to Jesus Christ himself. And when we take a look and we lean into God's word, we discover the ways that we are not like Christ. And it points out the things that we need to do, the tweaks that we need to make, the changes that we need to enact in our own lives so that we can become more like Jesus. It lays down a well-lit path in front of us for us to travel in order to become more and more like Jesus with every single step, every single day. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the fullness of Jesus Christ through his word, so that we are able to become more like him. So we lean in to the Holy Spirit through the gospel. We lean in through God's word. We lean in to the Holy Spirit through the local church. This is a building, yes, but it's also a body. The local church is alive and it is breathing because it is comprised of human beings like you and me. And when we come together, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he is there. God is there in the midst of them. And when we come together on Sunday mornings, or when we come together as the church in an outreach effort, in a serving effort, in a small group effort, that God is there in the midst of us. The presence of his Holy Spirit is there. And so if we will make a commitment to the local church and being a part of the local church, being involved and engaged in the local church, then we will have no other exception but to engage with the Holy Spirit, because this is a place, not in this building, but in this people, where the Holy Spirit dwells and is made available to us. And if we will lean into the church, then we will lean into the presence of the Holy Spirit through the gospel, through God's word, through the church. We lean into the Holy Spirit through our gifts. These are gifts that the Spirit has given us. And when we use them to serve other people, when we use them to glorify God by making a difference and adding value into the lives of others, guess what? God is pleased. And when the Holy Spirit sees that we're using the small things that he has given us, guess what he's going to do? He's going to show up in a greater capacity and give us even more. When we lean in by taking a step of faith and getting outside of our comfort zone and using the gifts that we've been given by God himself to serve other people and add value to their lives, then God is going to show up through the presence of the Holy Spirit in a greater abundance and do even more than we thought was possible. If we lean in through utilizing our gifts. The fifth thing, the gospel, God's word, the church, our gifts, we lean in our own spirit. We lean into the Holy Spirit with our own spirit. That those two things unite and they connect in prayer time and in seeking God. A lot of us in the church circle, we'll say like a phrase like God dropped something into my spirit. Maybe you've heard something like that, not really knowing what it means. That's kind of a churchy kind of thing. Drop something into my spirit. But what that really means is that as you're pursuing the Holy Spirit may place something in your heart, in your soul, inside of you. He's gonna light the fire for a certain area of passion. Maybe it's a mission field that you need to go and visit, or maybe it's a person here locally that you need to go and pray for or minister to. Maybe it's a job that you need to take. Maybe it's a something that you need to start, some kind of personal ministry. Maybe it's an outreach you need to be a part of. Maybe it's a serving opportunity, but the Holy Spirit, when you align your spirit with the Holy Spirit, is going to place some things in you and give you a passion to go and do something to find fulfillment in the world and to make a difference in the world around you. We lean into the Holy Spirit through the gospel, through the Bible, through the church, through our gifts, through our individual spirit, and then finally through our circumstances. We lean into the Holy Spirit through the things that we walk through in life. It's not always easy stuff. Fact, for a lot of us, it's quite hard. It's quite difficult. The lives that we live are burdens, but when we, instead of pushing away from the Holy Spirit during the tough times, if we will lean in, then what happens is that builds our faith and that builds our trust. And as we lean into the Holy Spirit during those times, that's when blessing upon blessing comes in. And that's when God opens the door to build our faith and build our trust and strengthen us so that when we come out on the other side, we are made different. We are made new because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And because we've chosen not to blame God for our circumstance, but to depend on God during our circumstance, we come out different on the other side because we've chosen to lean in to the Holy Spirit. And he comes close and intimate with us. He breathes on us and infuses us with new life. When we lean into the Holy Spirit, we are given greater intimacy with God. We're given a greater understanding of Jesus and the fullness of the message of his gospel. And when we lean in to the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're enabled to live a more fulfilled life, a life that is on purpose. Because it's in line with the very mind of Christ. Imagine, because you chose to lean in, that you can know Christ's thoughts for you. You could know Christ's thoughts, his guidance, his direction for your marriage and for your finances and for your kids, for your jobs, for your friendships, the things that you do in ministry, the way you serve, the gifts that he's given you. If you could have access to all that, if you would very simply just lean in. It's not about a particular song. It's not about the way the lights are, the temperature. It's not about any of that. Everything doesn't have to be just right. Like it's not just a standalone instance in where we find ourselves in the presence of the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is here. And when you go, the Holy Spirit is there. Whether we make our bed in heaven or in the belly of hell itself, we cannot escape from the presence of God. And so the Holy Spirit is crying out to each and every one of us, just lean in. I just want to be with you. So it starts with us positioning ourselves where we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. That where I am, be it in the middle of a church, be it in the middle of a restaurant or a grocery store or an office, wherever it is, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And then for us to say, help us become more aware of your presence in our lives so that we can lean in, because the Holy Spirit simply just wants to be with us.
Thank you for listening to the Christwalk podcast. For more information about Christwalk Church, please visit thechristwalk.com.